thank you for coming.
Here you go, Jen.
Okay. I didn't have to yell. Hello, everybody.
Hello.
I know I've been around for half a century, so. You're off the boat. I'm glad everybody's here today, and I really wish more people were, because the presentation we're about to put out today is good. And it can affect each and every one of you in your own home, just playing on your phone, playing on your computer. It's all about scams and how good these people are, how they can take you for a ride and you don't even realize it. So we put together a program, and we have a guest speaker here from Geary County, who is basically the expert on this subject. And she'll be talking to you, and I think we're all going to learn a little something today. So to get this thing underway, I don't know if you folks know Chief Mark Slawick. He's the Chief of Police of Bradnow. And he's here, and him and I together, we put this program together. So I'd like to introduce you to Mark, and he'll have a few minutes. Again, thanks for coming.
Again, I don't repeat that. I got a big mouth.
Don't we know it?
Thank you for having us. I really appreciate it. I am a big stickler for the elderly and the young. The elderly are the ones that brought us up, and I hope they brought us up right. And now it's time for us to pay back to the elderly and the young, in my opinion. The question is, why target senior citizens? Each year, millions of senior citizens are targeted by scammers. It's disgusting what goes on in this world right now, and it's happening right here in the town of Brandt. The FBI estimates that $3 billion a year are lost to these fraudsters. Again, why? Older Americans have more time to accumulate wealth. They have their homes, their retirements, and everything else. And it can be gone in the snap of a finger. And it happened again here in Brandt. I'll get to that in a minute. I'm sure everybody in this room grew up a very trusting person. You turned and you had your doors open at night. You left your cars unlocked. Now it's unheard of. You can't do that nowadays. You have to be careful with everything that you do. And it's sometimes, unfortunately, it's even family members that's doing it to you. And it's, again, I don't appreciate this. I don't like it. I hate these conversations when they come into Jack, when Jack investigates them. It's very hard to grasp. People are afraid. Senior citizens are afraid to make the complaint. They're embarrassed. They don't want to tell their kids. It's not, you did nothing wrong. You have to tell your kids. You have to tell a family member. You have to reach out to somebody. And if you don't feel that your family's doing it, call us, and we will give you the right direction to go. We'll get you in contact with Erie County. We'll get you in contact with the FBI, whoever we have to do. If we can do it ourselves and help you out, we will. We'll try. Whatever it takes, we're here for you. How are they stealing this money? Let me put my glass on because I'm not that young, okay? they're stealing money from your bank accounts, your information, your other personal information, your details. I can walk up to anybody. If I had a little girl with me, and you're coming out of Walmart, you and your spouse, okay, sir, can I just use your phone for a minute? My phone died, and I got to call my wife, and I don't know what to do with her, and I'm getting nervous. You're going to more than likely let me use your phone. And by you dialing that number, I got everything I need to know to take your money. I can get your bank accounts through that. It's just they're very good at what they do. They do it all day long, and they're they're the problem here. How many of you know what Ancestry.com is?
Yeah.
Did you hear what happened to them?
Yes.
They just got scammed. So now if Janice Ross went on Ancestry.com and typed in her name, not only do they have, they got her personal information, every one of her family members is scammed now, and they don't even know it. And that just came up. It's just in the news now about Ancestry.com.
It was Ancestry and the genealogy / 23.
Yeah.
23andMe. They just got...
I heard they just got it. I didn't know.
You would never get this. You know?
Wow.
There, how many ever got these FedEx or UPS text messages, emails?
Yeah.
And it's just one letter or one dot or one slash off. And now, again, they got your bank account. How many times do they call you and they'll ask you, is your social security number ending in 1234? And if you say yes, and then they're going to do something else, they're going to have you click on something or do something, and then they're going to get, again, your personal information. If you use the computers, it's Christmas time. Everybody's, my wife is a fanatic at this. She's going on the computer, and we are shopping literally on the computer all day long. You know, I have boxes coming every day, and she's like, oh, hey, Mark, I got some boxes you put up. I'm like, good, where'd they come from? Who paid for this? You know? Microsoft updates. It'll pop up on the screen. Update Microsoft. Shut your computer off. Shut your computer off and restart it. We had a gentleman who, he did this, and they told him, it's a long story, but a long story short, they said, we need you to put some money in a bank account, we'll give it back to you. Well, he put $49,000 into their account, and 99.9999% of the time, you're not getting that money back. Now this gentleman saved his life, you know, he's out. On a good note, California, a sheriff's department in California made an arrest, and he might get some of it, if not all of it back. Again, it's unheard of. We had another person from Brandt, $10,000 scam. They got him on the phone, they did something to him, they convinced him to go to the bank, take $10,000 out.
Jeez.
He took $10,000 out. When he went to the bank, they said, keep us on the line. So he's talking to them on the line, and they said, the bank manager and teller, they both questioned it. They have protocols that they're going to go through and say, you know, if you really want this money, tell them yes, tell them it's for your kids. Okay, it's for my kids. It's for Christmas. And they have to give them the money. So now he goes to the stores, go to Walmart, go to Target, go to wherever, get these gift cards. The clerk's asking him the questions. Do you sure you want this? Sure, someone's not telling you to do this? Tell them it's for your kids for Christmas. It's for my kids for Christmas. And they gave it to him. What they're doing, also they're doing, is they're going into these stores and there's a little 5-digit code on there. People are scratching off the codes and getting the codes. And then you're going to take that card and you're going to go up to the cashier and put $20 or a $50 card. The card's useless. But now they have that $50 to spend on whatever. Again, they're very good at what they do. We can't catch them. I'm just trying to prevent it from happening to you, or trying to happen to you. We had another person bought an excavator online. If it sounds too good to be true, it's probably too good to be true. She paid $19,000 for it. She lost $19,000. It was an empty lot that she sent the money to. Okay. How many of you use your credit card at gas pumps? Do you ever hear about the scanners and that they're having on there? People are going there, they're pumping gas in their car and putting that credit card in, thinking you're all good, and then they're getting your credit card number, they're getting your 4-digit code or whatever it is, and now they're using your credit card in other places.
I will interject on that for a minute. I don't want to interrupt you, but I usually talk about skimming when I talk, and you bring up a good point. With that, you know, you, That's not saying you shouldn't go to the gas station and use your credit card, but be aware when you do. Check to make sure that the gas pump doesn't look like it's been tampered with. You know, grab the credit card reader and see if it's loose, if somebody placed something over it. Because these skimming devices are just a cover that covers the regular credit card reader. And what it does is when you put in your credit card, it transmits your credit card number via Bluetooth to somebody that's sitting nearby. So it is an application that goes on top of a normal credit card machine, and they're really good. They look like a normal credit card slot reader. So just be careful, be mindful. You know, use a pump that's near a cashier or the attendant if it's late at night or whatnot. Just be mindful when you're putting your credit card in anywhere, whether it's a Walmart, a gas station. And right now, you know, people ask, you know, oh, is it safe to tap? Is it, you know, do you want to use your chip? You know, I would say in order that, you know, swipe your credit card. If you have a chip, use your chip over the swipe. And if you have a tap function on your credit card, tap over using your chip or swiping. I'm sure that scammers will catch up with the tap.
What is a tap?
I don't know if I can find one, but on your credit card, typically it has like three little lines on it, and that means that you can actually just put your credit card onto a ATM machine, and it will read the information without you swiping it or putting the chip in. Typically, it'll say tap to pay on it, and it'll have a little symbol. It kind of looks like it's making noise, like it's like three little slashes. He has one there if you want to see it. Most of the credit card companies and banks are catching up with that tap feature. Gas stations are tapping, you know, the BJ's out near me, they're bringing swipe to their stations. And, you know, they say, you know, soon this functionality will work. Right now, that's probably your safest bet is to tap. Although I put a disclaimer on that I'm sure that scammers will catch up with that. But in that mindset, just be careful when you're using your credit card. Make sure that there isn't anything, that it doesn't look like it's been tampered with. And if it does, go to the other one, bring it up to the store, be mindful of it. So,
Jennifer, one quick question. Mm-hmm. I did some reading on the skimmers.
Yes.
Is it true that if you suspect that may be tampered with,
yes,
if you pull on it,
that's why I say give it a little, it should come off.
Come off.
Yes. And you know,
you didn't break the machine.
If you're interested in seeing it, one of the points that I wanted to make on that is a division that falls under me is the Erie County Bureau of Weights and Measures, and the deputy county sealers that work in that department are actually out in the community every day, and we do use devices that look for skimmers. We use a Blue Sleuth and a Skim Scam, and those are looking for skimmers. We have found one. It was many, many years ago. We have found one. We reported it to the FBI, handed it off to them. I like to think that criminals stay away from Erie County because they know that we're looking for them. But recently in the news, Walmart was affected by a ring of skimming thieves. They came up from Syracuse and as close as Niagara Falls. A Walmart was affected. The Walmart in Rochester or close to Syracuse, it took them almost 3 days to find out that there was a skimmer on one of their registers. Now, by the time they got up to Niagara Falls, it took the Niagara Falls Walmart, I think, 45 minutes to find it. So, you know, businesses do react to stuff. Like I said, I hope that thieves know that we're looking for skimmers and they stay away from Erie County. But do your due diligence too when it comes to credit card skimming. So.
I'm glad you told me that because I didn't know any of that. There's a guy in Walt, and so they're not always on the internet too. There's a guy sitting by, I believe it's on Camp or Southwestern Walmart. He's got a sign, "My house just burned. Please give me money." You don't think he's trying to scam you? Again, it's all over the place. The city of Buffalo, you sit at every Tim Hortons, they're trying to get money out of you. It's been for years it's there, but now it's just getting worse. it's not just a computer is what I'm trying to say. You know, they're coming in person. They're saying, we're National Fuel, we're NYSEG, we're whoever. We're the gas company. We need to check for a gas leak. They get in your house. They're looking through everything in your house. Don't trust people. That's the best advice that anybody I think could give. Trust no one but yourself. It is horrible. It's horrible nowadays what we have to do to survive. I mean, you're going to get stuff from the IRS. They will, and I'm sure Jen will actually touch on that. They're not going to call you. They're going to send you mail. It's going to come through the mail. You know, back in the old days, we horse and pony mail. Let's do this. And again, I got to continue to say it. Report it. You got to report this to anybody, somebody, so we can do something about it. Listen to your gut. If you feel it's not right, then don't do it. Take your time. Don't rush into something. Ask a family member. If you think it's not right, ask somebody. I know you've come from the trust, the generation of trust. It's gone. You can't trust these people nowadays. I can't even trust Jack. He steals my
phone. You're a smart man.
The text messages, they come from local and long distance phone numbers. They come from emails. They come in person. They're out there. What can we do to stop it? We can call Erie County. She'll take it all. No. It's the holiday season's here. Number one, don't act quickly. Again, talk to somebody first. If you see a phone number coming on your phone, cell phone or home phone, I still have a home phone, don't answer it. My phone now says scam. You know, don't answer it. They're trying to buy my house for pennies on a dollar. You know, again, people, if they get to that point, it's a fast $1,000, fast couple $1,000, let's do it. You know, you won't lose nothing. You're losing everything, believe me. Boy, I'm going right through this, huh? And another thing I want to say, don't forget to buy your extended car warranty.
Don't have the car.
Even if you don't have a car, right. If you feel a family member is taking advantage of you, you have nowhere to turn, turn to us. We will take care of it. We will hook you up with adult protective services. The county has programs. The state has programs. We'll help you. I'm not here to take a penny out of your pocket unless you're Janice Ross, because she's got a lot of money. another thing, I know you heard it before, they call your house or they'll call your phone and say your grandchild or your son's in trouble, your son's in an accident, your daughter's in an accident, your grandkid's in an accident, we need medical money, bills to be paid, this, that, hang up on them. I'm sure a family member will call you if that's the case. If you feel that you want to buy something and you don't think it's right, call Erie County. Jen's got numbers. Call the Better Business Bureau. Call somebody before you act on that. Hobby Lobby. Did anybody go to Hobby Lobby? Did you see the sign they have there? They got a sign there. It says, gift cards are for gifts, not for payment. If someone wants to pay with a gift card, it's probably a scam. Right when you walk in the door, they're telling you that.
Smart.
That's all I got? Yes, ma'am.
Are you finding out through your investigating that it's no longer like all foreign? Because it used to be like all foreign entity was always doing the scamming. Are you finding out now that it's local or like just in the U.S.?
It is local, and let me tell you why. There's a person that's selling something in this town to people outside of the town, and he's scamming them on money. He's collecting $1,000 down payment on it, and he's not giving anything up in return. I know Jennifer is, her and her group is on it. Jack did an extensive investigation on it. I want to say it was upwards of 20 people, 20 families that were out at least $1,000 a piece. This is Christmas time. I could use this money. I'm sure you could too.
I think a good thing to add to that too is, I think it is, it depends on the scam. I think that phone calls and emails and text messages tend to be foreign, deriving from foreign countries or foreign scammers. That's the way that they can get in contact with you. But I think the point that the chief is trying to make is that scams can be from anywhere, and you know, don't feel like an extra amount of reassurance because someone lives down the street from you or has a local address or a local phone number, because there are plenty of scammers out there that aren't foreign and don't have to live in a foreign country that are trying to get your money.
And they're hacking local phone numbers.
They're spoofing local phone numbers.
But also to reflect on what you had just asked, they come in all shapes and sizes.
Yes.
The person that got ripped off for $49,000 that he had mentioned, and a detective in California made an arrest, and I'm not being discriminatory here, I'm not, but they were Chinese people in California that were doing this, and once they had the money was being forwarded to the Bank of China in Taiwan. Some of the stuff is huge.
International thing.
International. It's originating here in the States. Some of it's just from India. It's like, again, it comes in all shapes and sizes.
I've got a phone call, and my daughter's told me 100 times not to say yes.
Exactly. I was going to say that.
Well, I did. And they hung up on me immediately.
Mm-hmm.
So I was going to the bank anyway, and I asked. I told him at the bank what had happened, and I said, I just want to make sure that they can't take money out of my account. So she put some kind of a notification on there. I don't know if it was a scam or what it was, but
yeah.
When they hung up immediately after I said yes, I said, not right.
Better to be safe than sorry.
Yeah, I think what you're referring to has a name. It's called the Say Yes scam. And I think a few years ago, that was very prevalent. It was a way for a scammer to get a voice recording of you authenticating by saying yes. I don't want to minimize that or scare you, but with artificial intelligence, I'm sure everybody has heard, you know, how artificial intelligence is being increasingly used. With artificial intelligence out there, scammers don't have to call you and record you saying yes. They can take a soundbite off of social media. They can take a soundbite off of a recording, whether it's like your voicemail or whatnot. They can use that, and they can develop any type of conversation that they want using your voice. So I think that was very prevalent prior to this technology. Unfortunately, I think if a scammer wants your voice, they will find a way to create it now. So. I know you were going to introduce me. I want to take the time to introduce myself now. That's okay.
Yeah, you're already there, Jen.
Thank you so much, Chief, for having me. My name is Jennifer Andres, and I'm the Director of Consumer Protection for Erie County. I work in the Department of Public Advocacy, and I am here today to talk to you about scams a little bit, but also because of, you know, in this investigator's hard work and assistance with our cases that we've received. You know, they referenced that they have been working on a case with someone that lives in your town that is scamming people, and you know, the partnership and the assistance with the investigation has only helped us, and hopefully we can recover money and, you know, recoup the losses of families in this area, and also hopefully stop it from happening. You know, and part of it is education, and step one is being here so that you can listen to all of us and make sure that you are prepared and can identify scams, which is what I want to talk about. And I will definitely take questions. I don't want to repeat what has already been said, but I do have some
some things to talk about. When I started talking, I do a lot of presentations at senior centers or community centers or churches, all throughout Erie County, so I'm happy to be here. This is officially my longest journey so far. I used to talk about scams, and I'm so glad that you gave good examples, especially local examples, because I think, and I'm sorry, I'm going to
put
it here so that I'm not, like, behind you. I think it gives you more relevance.
Look at my knee. They're going to look at me like
I think it makes it hit home a little bit more for you guys. And I used to have these conversations, and I used to tell you all about these scams and give you the names. A grandparent scam, a charity scam, you know, an imposter scam, and all of that. But after I started talking with people and discussing it, I came to the realization that most scams are the same thing. It's just a different topic, a different way, and whatever they're looking for to scam you out of. And really, if I come here and I tell you about the red flags of a scam, regardless of what type of scam it is, you may be better prepared to identify it and not be a victim of identity theft or of a scam or whatnot. So I want to talk about those red flags. I have four big ones. I brought some information on this table. I brought a pamphlet about our office. So I said I work for the Department of Public Advocacy. I'm the Director of Consumer Protection, but underneath the umbrella of public advocacy is also the Bureau of Weights and Measures. This booklet has a little bit of information about our office, the Bureau of Weights and Measures, and then contact information on the back if you ever needed to get a hold of us. There are some great references in here as far as phone numbers or websites for consumer protection if you were ever to need them. So if you were only to pick up one thing on that table, pick up this. I also have just a little pamphlet on what I'm talking about right now, which is how to spot a scam. And then a packet on identity theft and credit. And then if you would grab one of those, I have RFID card sleeves. You were talking about skimming and picking up your credit card number. Yep. This is an RFID card sleeve, which will keep your credit card from being electronically pickpocketed. I would say if you only use one of these in your wallet, put your highest limit credit card in it. And protect it. You know, there is technology out there that somebody can walk by you and, you know, scam your credit card just with a piece of technology that's on them. So a lot of purses now, a lot of wallets have this technology built in. Like I said, it's called RFID. But I do have card sleeves here. Please take one or two. Help yourself. And like I said, protect your highest limit credit card or your bank account.
Awesome.
Thank you. So our office, just so you know, and I don't forget to tell you, like I said, our contact information is on the back. Our office is open Monday through Friday, 8:30 to 4:30. You can reach us via email or follow us on social media. We do have a Facebook page and a Twitter page. I try to put out a lot of education, share alerts about scams that are going on, you know, put articles together that just provides you more information. So follow us or visit our website. Like the title of my presentation says, spot the scam by being an educated consumer. The more you know, the less likely it is that you're going to become a victim. So quickly, four big red flags for you to be aware of and use your spidey sense when you're, you know, dealing with somebody or a communication from somebody. Scammers typically pretend to be someone you know or an organization you know. It may be a government entity that they're pretending to be. It may be a bank or even a friend, a family member, like he had said. Some of these examples are the grandparent scam, the imposter scam, the Social Security Administration or the IRS. Scammers are always trying to pretend to be that. Right now, or you know, last month, Medicare renewals, insurance renewals open they call it, open enrollment, thank you. Open enrollment is right now. Scammers know the calendar. They're going to use it to their advantage. You know, with open enrollment being right now, they're going to call you and say that they're from Medicare. You know, try to get your Medicare number or your insurance information, your credit card, all of that. You know, you want to make sure that who you're talking to is the right person. You know, an example of this is a phishing scam. You know, somebody can call you and pretend to be somebody, but somebody can also email you pretending to be somebody.
Oh, yeah.
I think somebody mentioned here that they had gotten an email from a pastor or someone pretending to be a pastor. Phishing is a type of online scam. It targets a consumer by sending an email pretending to be from a well-known source or somebody you know. With the changes in technology and communications, now not only is there phishing, there's also vishing and smishing. So phishing is email, smishing is your text messages, and your vishing is your voicemails and your phone calls. So there's a lot of vishing going on that has to do with scamming. Just be aware that all lines of communication are being used by scammers, and they're going with the flow of technology. You know, what's hot. The whole point is that they're trying to get a hold of you, so they're going to try to get a hold of you the best way that they can. You know, in an email, technology makes it hard to spot a scam sometimes, especially now that we have access to our emails on our phones. Phones are harder to read. They're harder to see the detailed information. And really, that's what you want to look for, especially with a phishing email. You know, when you get an email, especially an unsolicited request or somebody that's asking for money or a gift card or personal information, hover over the person that sent it to you, their name or their email address. A lot of times it'll just give their name, like a caller ID. But if you hover over that, it'll actually give you the detailed email address. Look for an inconsistency in that. You know, is it, you know, John Doe at bmail.com instead of gmail.com? You know, those little things are clues that it's not coming from the person that you think it is. You know, phone numbers. Scammers can spoof your caller ID. Not only can they spoof the name on a caller ID, but they can spoof the phone number. There are now apps on a phone that you can download for free, and you can put in a number and call somebody and have that number appear on their caller ID, that number or a name.
That's great, too, because I call Jack all the time, and I say, white phone number, and I'm calling. I'm like, hey, Jack, you know, your wife over here, what do you want me to do here? She wants money again.
So, in all of this, what I'm trying to tell you is that you want to make sure you're talking to the right person or emailing or texting the right person, and that communication should come from you. If you're initiating the phone call, if you're initiating the email, the text message, you should know that you're contacting the right person. You know, you don't want to get a call and then hang up and press redial because that number could be a spoofed phone number. You want to check the back of your bank card, check the back of your insurance card, and call the number that you know is associated with the organization. Hang up and call your family member back at the number that you have for them so that you know that it is that person. Like I said, the grandparent scam used to be somebody calling and saying, oh, hi, this is Jim, your grandson, you know, and you would say, well, why doesn't it sound like you? Oh, I'm in a bad place, the connection must be bad. Yeah. Now it's not even that, because that voice is your grandson's voice, and it is a computer-generated version of their voice. So scammers are just making it harder for you to identify them. So the best way that I could tell you is just make sure that you're the one that's initiating the conversation, regardless of how you're talking to them. Second red flag, scammers either say there's a prize or a problem. You know, you had said it. If it's too good to be true, it probably is. You know, people win prizes all the time, and not all prizes are a gimmick or a scam or whatnot. But you shouldn't ever have to pay for a prize that you've won. You know, if somebody's calling you saying you won this great, you know, Yeti cooler, it's worth $500, but you just have to pay $1.99 for shipping. Well, all they want from you is your credit card information to charge you that $1.99. I can almost guarantee you that it's not going to be a dollar. It's going to be $1,000 or $10,000, you know. So don't pay for a prize. You know, when it comes to a problem, what they're trying to do is they're trying to get your personal information. Be careful, you know, you want to make sure that when somebody's calling you for a problem, that you're not acting quickly, that you're taking a step back, you're looking at all the facts that have been presented to you and really understand the situation. You know, that goes into kind of my next red flag as far as a problem is scammers are going to ask you or have pressure you to act immediately. They're trying to get you to make a split decision really fast so that you don't have time to think about it. You don't have time to catch the red flags that you may see. I heard you say, why would somebody do that? Because they're not taking the time to think about it. They're not seeing the red flags. You know, they're being pressured. They're concerned about a family member or a loved one. They're concerned that their information has been stolen. And that goes for anybody, you know, of any age. I fully agree with the chief that seniors are targeted. They have generational wealth. They have more money than youngsters. They have more assets to take. But at the same time, they're more likely to trust a scammer. They're more likely to act quickly and make a decision based on, you know, a scammer pressuring them emotionally. You know, I have a story from Amherst similar to like what you had said about the Microsoft. I was presenting at Amherst Senior Center and a gentleman told me that he had been scammed. Something had popped up on his antivirus. He called the number that popped up, spoke with a gentleman, and this was an 8-hour conversation that he had with somebody, a couple people. He got escalated to a manager, then he got sent over to the technical team for help, and in the end, the scammer wanted him to go to the store, buy $500 gift cards to Home Depot, and give it to him. And he did.
Oh,
and
no.
You know why he did? Because the scammer told him that the reason why he had a notification was because there was a virus on his computer, and he could tell that he had been visiting pornographic websites. Now, this guy didn't want anybody to think that he had been visiting pornographic websites. Oh. You know, he didn't want this to tarnish his, you know,
his chief, his being a chief or something?
Right.
Right, yeah, because the chief always does that.
So, you know, that's what they're going to do. They're giving an emotional side of it. They're making you act quickly. You know, luckily, this husband's wife came home. She talked to the scammer for a few minutes. When they wanted more money, her red flag went up, realized it was a scam. You know, he only lost a couple hundred dollars, but to your point, nobody wants to lose any amount of money. Hopefully, if you are a victim, it's not $49,000, but, you know, don't act quickly. Like he had said, talk to somebody. You know, you want to be wary of phone calls where people are calling you, saying that they're in trouble. Social media, websites, internet searches. There's a lot of information out there that people are using, and they're able to learn about you. You know, you may just be posting, you know, beautiful videos or photos of your grandchildren, but if scammers are getting a hold of that information, now they know your story. Now they're going to be able to connect with you personally. They're going to be able to make you believe that they know you.
If I can just cut in on 1 second.
Yeah.
There's a website, it's called Family Tree Now, all one word. You type it in there and I can type in Dennis Rubeck. I will find out where he lives, his phone number, his kids' addresses, his kids' dates of birth, and everything else, and it's free. And it just goes to show you that internet, it's wide open, and everybody has your information. Everybody.
They do, and people ask me, like, how did they get my information? You know, why was my information out there for somebody to get? And I think there's a few components of it. I think there's data breaches, which you referenced. You know, unfortunately, companies do get hacked and data breaches occur and your information gets leaked. But there's also another side of it where I don't think that consumers like yourselves believe that some of the information that they're providing people is something that needs to be secured. So, you know, you go to a craft fair or you're at a store and there's a little prize box that says you can win something, but you just have to put down, you know, your name, your phone number, your address, email. You know, that doesn't seem like it's something, because they're not asking you for your credit card number or your social security number, you know, that doesn't seem like something that is valuable, that somebody would steal. You know, why would they want that? But it is, because what they're doing is they're taking that information, they're putting it together, and then they're selling it to a criminal. And it's, you know, it may be marketing, but in the end, that information is getting into the hands of bad people, and those people are then going to call you, or email you, or send you a letter, and that's how they're going to scam you. So it's not a direct, I'm giving my information to a scammer, but that's how they're getting your information, you know. You had said don't pick up the phone, and I totally agree with that. If you don't know a phone number, if you're not expecting a call, don't pick it up. Tell your friends and family to leave a message, and you will call them back. You know, technology is good, technology is bad, and you know, behind a phone call, which is the example I want to give you, there's a lot of information. A service provider tracks, you know, who called who. How long was the call? Did you pick up the call? Was there a voicemail on the end of it? Did somebody leave a voicemail? All that information is collected by a phone provider. And if I'm a hacker, if I'm a scammer, I want to buy all of the phone calls for the people that are picking up and answering and talking to me. Because I'm not going to be able to scam somebody that doesn't pick up the phone, right? So, you know, I've been asked a lot of times, you know, should I pick up the phone? I've been told a lot of stories about people, especially at senior centers, that they answer the phone and they know it's a scammer and they keep them on the line because they want to waste their time. That's great. And if that's what you want to do, be safe and be careful. But, I know, right? But at the same time, like, now they know that you answer the phone. Now they know that you talk to them. And you're more likely, in my opinion, to get more calls because of that. So be careful. Last red flag. Scammers tell you to pay in a specific way. And you brought up, the last thing you said was...
I read her pamphlet.
The last thing you said was about Hobby Lobby and Hobby Lobby having a poster. Well, that is now a New York state law that was passed in June that any business that sells a gift card or a gift certificate has to post a warning sign to consumers saying, stop. Gift cards are for gifts, not payments. That should be in every business that you see selling a gift card. Because it is so important, and the only way to stop scams is to educate you and to make you aware that scammers are using gift cards, especially right now. This is the hot thing. Gift cards and peer-to-peer payment apps like Venmo and Zelle and all that. So it's a New York state law, they have to post it, they have to warn you, and it's as simple as that. If you're not buying a gift card for a gift, you should not buy it. It is not a payment. No legitimate business is going to ask you to buy a gift card as a payment, so just don't do it. And the reason why they do it is because it's fast, it's easy, and it's untrackable. And right now, there's no consumer protections around it. You can't get your money back off of a gift card. There's no requirements for a gift card company or whoever you bought it, business or whatnot, to give that money back to you if you've paid it in a scam. Same with a peer-to-peer payment app. Anybody familiar with Venmo, Zelle, even PayPal?
Yeah. Yeah.
Those are safe. They are safe means of payments. The only problem is that when you choose to pay a scammer, you've now initiated that payment. So there's no liability from your bank to recoup the money that you've lost because you are the one that are transferring that money. It is a safe means of paying somebody, but you have to be very, very 100% confident that you are paying the right person because they can't recover that money. You know, years ago it was MoneyGram, Western Union, those, you know, certified wires and drafts. That's what scammers were using because it wasn't trackable. Once you gave them the MoneyGram or, you know, the bank wire, it's gone. So now gift cards and those payment apps are what, you know, the technology is lending towards. It's how scammers are getting their money. I have three little things that I want to point out with, that goes along with these red flags. Romance, friendship scams are very big, you know, especially in the senior community, because people are just looking for relationships. They're looking for conversation. You know, it's easy for somebody to find somebody online to talk to. I had a gentleman call me 2 or 3 weeks ago. He met a woman online. You know, he was an older gentleman. He probably had lost his wife. Met someone online, talked to her for about a month, and then she presented an investment opportunity to him. It was a Bitcoin, which he didn't know about, but the returns were amazing, and she walked him through the process, taught him how to invest. It looked like it was a legitimate company, and he invested for 6 months. First it was, you know, $10,000, then it was $20,000, then it was $50,000, then it was $75,000. And the day, the Saturday before he called me, he withdrew $230,000. Somebody came to his house and picked up the cash, and he's out almost $1 million.
Wow.
And you know what? The scammers, and when you say scammers are good at what they do, you have to put it, you have to get it in your mind that this is their job. This is their profession. This is how they make money. They go really far to convince you of their story. You know, they do a lot of work to get a backstory to make it real. You know, this guy had a login. He could see how his money was being deposited. You know, every time he had deposited it, it showed that it was deposited, and it showed how much gains he was making, you know, and when he went to go withdraw the money, that's when they realized that they weren't going to get any more money out of him. So then they made one last ditch effort. They said, well, to withdraw this money, you have to pay the taxes on it before you withdraw it. He tried to pay some of them. That's all the money that he had left. And unfortunately, you know, this now is with the FBI and Homeland Security investigations. I hope that he can recover some of that money because that was his life savings, $1 million, all because of a romance scam. Two more things to add on to what you had said. You know, contractors are big, you know, in any capacity, whether you're looking to get a bathroom remodeled, you're looking for a shed to be installed, you want a driveway done. There are New York State requirements that contractors have to have in their contract for anything over $500. When you are talking with somebody, educate yourselves about the business. Go online, type in the business name. Type in the business name with a scam and then a question mark. The internet has a ton of information for good and bad. And if that person or business is scamming people, most likely it's out there on the internet and you can find it. And if you don't have access to a computer, call me. I can't recommend somebody, but I sure can do a Google search and see if there's any reports on a business and if they've been scammed. You know, the BBB, use it at face value, the Better Business Bureau, they do publicize their complaints. You know, unfortunately, our office doesn't have that capacity, but the BBB does. Read the reviews. Get a full picture of the business that you're investing in. And don't pay anybody unless you have a contract. Not an invoice, not a, you know, a hand-scribbled note of the work that they're going to do. A contract. That means that you have the name and the contact information of the business. You have an itemized list of what's going to be done, the amounts you're paying, if there's progress payments. You know, they have to identify that they have insurance. You know, there might be requirements in the town of Brandt that they have to be licensed to do specific work. Check that out. When they take your money, they have to tell you that it's going into an escrow account, or they have to have an insured bond to cover that amount of money that you're giving them. All of that needs to be in writing. You know, a 3-day cancellation notice, that you have 3 days to cancel a contract. that has to be in writing and given to you on any contract for home improvement that's over $500. You know, there's a lot of information on our website about it. If you have questions, call us. Shopping, how do you avoid shopping scams? Tell your wife. Make sure that you're shopping on secure websites. You know, make sure that you're going, you're not clicking on a website that's off of a social media feed. You know, go to the website that you know is their link. Because if you're looking to shop on Walmart.com, but you press an ad on Facebook, maybe it sends you to Walmart.org, you know, and that's a scammer's website. And it may look very much like the website you're expecting, but it could be one of those things where they're an imposter. They're trying to present themselves as a business. One thing about our website, not all of them can be fully secured. Does anybody know how to tell if a website is secure?
HTTP.
Yes, the S is secure. HTTPS is a secure website. HTTP is not. Sometimes it shows a little lock symbol, like a green lock symbol up in the website address. The best thing I can tell you, because there are websites out there that, you know, especially smaller business, they can't afford to secure their whole website, make sure the point that you're putting in your credit card information when you're checking out, you know, you have your cart and you're checking out, make sure that's secure. Because the payment card industry, which is called PCI, governs that part of websites and businesses that take your credit card information. PCI has requirements that they need to secure your information. They need to delete it after a certain amount of time. They need to encrypt it. So even if a website isn't fully secure when you first enter into it, make sure when you're providing your payment information that that part's secure. That's the best way I can tell you to avoid online like shopping scams. You had an example of that?
I just got caught. Big Lots.
Big Lots?
It wasn't Big Lots.
Right.
And I just didn't feel right about it. So I called this number they had, and their Big Lots actual 800 number, and they said, we don't have any order numbers that start with those numbers.
Yeah.
Immediately called my bank, and luckily it hadn't gone through.
Good. Report it. Report it as soon as you can. I can even say it's not just older, you know, folks that get scammed. You know, I was just about to buy tickets to a country concert that got announced in Buffalo, and I got an email that the tickets were on pre-sale, and it was actually like 2 days before the pre-sale date that I had thought was the pre-sale date, and I'm like, oh, maybe because I signed up on their website to be part of the VIP club, that's why. You know, I went on and I went as far as putting tickets into a cart. You know, while I'm doing it, I'm thinking, oh, you know, there's a lot of tickets left. Like, you would think like some of these would be sold out. You know, it's a popular country artist or whatnot. And it took me to almost the point of purchasing them to be like, all right, I need to see if this website is, you know, a scam website. I Googled, you know, whatever the website name was to see if it was a scam. Saw a bunch of reviews that said they ordered tickets, that it would be delivered to them, and then they never got them. So it could happen to anybody, which is why I say, again, educate yourself on everything. Yes.
I just have one simple question. How did that scam know this man had $49,000? Because if someone called me and told me to do that, I'd be laughing in the phone.
Well, there's more to it.
Yeah.
Lost $500,000 to this woman that you know.
Well, in that situation, they started, like I said, they invested 20, and then they invested 50, and then, you know, things were going so well that he's like, all right, I'm going to do $75,000 this time. I don't know that they always know. Sometimes they do. But, you know, I think
I couldn't even give them $500 in Hobby Lobby. So it's like, how would they find
out? But what had happened, first of all, they seized up his computer and told him to contact the tech, call this number, right? They came back to him and says, do you do banking on your computer? Do you do purchasing on your computer? We have security on your bank account, and your bank account was about to be hacked.
Yeah.
So we are here for you. And they start talking you into opening your account because you got to take money out for them to put this extra protection on your account, and then you can put the money back in.
And then because you did that, the bank's not liable. Because you transferred.
Right, there's no FDIC covering.
Right.
Say something real quick with the I had a QVC and a Clark Shoes, which,
yep.
And I called QVC, it wasn't them. Clark Shoes I ordered, they weren't Clark's. And then what I do is they'll have a person's name. You click on that name, and then you notice the website, go to the website, and it'll say it's not good.
Right.
Or if you click on people like, oh, I love it, I bought 5 pair. You click on their name, and they hardly have any posts on their Facebook, so you know they scammed them too.
Yep, online reviews can be added, they can be faked, just like somebody can fake a profile. I only have one more thing, and then I will take all your questions or examples. You said it multiple times when he was talking, to report it. And the FCC, which is the Federal Trade Commission, has a program that they call Pass It On. And the whole point of this program is to get consumers to pass it on. Talk to friends, talk to neighbors, talk in a group like this, talk to family, and tell them about things. Not only ask them questions about suspicious things that you've received, but tell them about it. You know, if you tell someone that you received a phone call that somebody was pretending to be your grandchild, they might not be in this room right now and might not have heard our conversation, but you telling them might alert them that that can happen to them and that it's a scam. So pass it on, tell people, because you sharing that information and your experiences could stop them from becoming a victim. So, yes.
I got a question for the police about scammers. Are they hiring and is it civil service?
I don't know, but I want to marry that guy for $1 million. You know what? I just want to add one more thing to you.
Yeah.
Everybody's got a cell phone. And I could be sitting here talking to Dennis about buying Commodore. Believe me, it's going to show up on his phone on searches. They're going to find a way. They're listening to what you're saying. It's all over the place all the time. Be careful.
Yeah, they're not only listening, he's right, and I typically actually end up saying that as part of the conversations I have. Your phone's not only listening, you know, Siri and all that, but your phone is tracking the websites that you search. You know, if you go out and you search for cow manure, most likely on your Facebook feed, the next time you're on there, it's going to bring up ads for that because websites are tracking your data and then they're selling it.
Yeah.
So he's not wrong. Yes.
We had on Facebook, on the Brad Chat page and the Farnham Chat page, there were people posting about putting up gutters, doing some kind of work, and they just listed their name, nothing else. They said, we just moved into your area. So I put a note out there. What's your business? Where did you move in our area? No response. So always ask questions.
And it's a different phone number.
Yeah,
time.
That's what you had said. So always check it out. When you see it on Facebook, check it out.
Or the lost dogs, and that's not even.
Yeah.
Why do they do that? It's a different name and a different.
You have to remember, the whole point of a scam is to get your information, whether it's your personal information, your financial information, your insurance information. So when you ask why do they do that, because it's just another way to make you emotionally invested or to get you to act quickly so that they can get that information.
Yeah.
Whether it's a lost dog or a grandson that's hurt, that's the whole point of it. They're just trying different ways.
So when you share that, is that what they're looking for you to share it?
If you share it, somebody else might be scammed by it. I have a friend on my Facebook that got scammed over Thanksgiving break because she bought stamps that were on sale. And then she shared her posts about the sale. The UPS is not going to ever put stamps on sale.
No.
And it made me sad that she got taken for it, and my sister had showed me, and I'm like, that's a scam. And I reached out to her, and she's like, yeah, I already know. And it's true. Like you said, the government's not going to call you. They're going to write you. The government is not going to be on sale. Spectrum is not going to call you to get you discounted rates. You know, I had somebody recently that called me that almost was scammed because she had Spectrum calling her a lot. And they kept saying, we can get you a better rate. Why would Spectrum want you to have a better rate? If you're paying what you're paying right now, why would they want you to have a better rate? They're not going to give you a better rate until you call and you ask for one. So
DirecTV did it with AT&T.
Yep.
50% off, sent me $199 in gift cards.
I had them direct a woman to the actual Spectrum website to reference a discount plan. And she went on there, and it was a scammer talking to her, even though they were telling her to go to
and
a legitimate website.
TV and they said it wasn't. It wasn't a deal, but it was, and it was a foreigner. So.
If you get called about a deal and you're interested in it, hang up, call them back and ask them if it's really a deal.
Yeah.
Another thing to remember is you get that thing that seizes up your computer, it's Microsoft, eBay, or whatever. And they're trying to tell you that they had security on your bank account. Those companies have nothing to do with your bank account.
Nope.
That's just a lure for you to open your bank account. That's what they want. Once they see that, they're in. They're in.
So I hope this helps. I hope you've been educated and take a few things away from our conversation. Like I said, our office is open. Please call me. Thank you. You know, I hope I never have to talk to you, but we're there to help if you need it. So
thank you.
And please take some information with you and share it.
Thanks, Mark, for setting this up. That was great.
Thanks, Mark. Thanks, Jack.
Yeah. This was wonderful.
This girl is good.
Oh, yeah, she is good. This is just wonderful.
I'm getting so I don't even want to open things.
I walk
Jack, how do we go back? You'll run.
Yes, call them. They can put a trap. Yes, post it up.
No, we haven't had anything like that. However, we have been told to not mail personal checks in the mail. I mean, can you believe it?
Right.
If people are able to, post office workers, taking them out, they're able to bleach them, change them. Yeah, can you believe that?
I get a lot of checks in the mail because I'm doing a fundraiser for the fleet reserve.
I think what they're talking about is personal checks. Oh, yeah, that you're actually writing them out, and you're actually writing them out. Somehow they bleach them or something. They can take the heat off.
Well, I work six Mardi Gras days as a military. And I'm allowed to charge of control. So I'm running a whole detail for Mardi Gras. There are 14 planes as a chief petty officer. And what we had down there was bleaching $5 bill.
Really?
That was big down there in the world.
Really?
They take a $5 bill and they bleach it out. And then they print. When you hold it to the right paper, and if you take one of those things, that won't help you because it's the right paper. But if you hold it up to the light, you'll see Lincoln, and you'll see Ben Franklin. And you can tell the bill because it's very warm from the bleaching out process. You know, it just doesn't feel right.
Yeah.
But
I dealt a lot with counterfeit because I was an investigator with the Gaming Authority. For the casinos in Niagara Falls, South Lake, I did a lot of counterfeit.
I had a counterfeit case when I was on the station up on Niagara Falls Boulevard. The gas station guy flagged me down. He just got a counterfeit money from this Canadian, and I went down the road, caught the guy, called them Secret Service because they had an agent.
They're good.
And this guy beat it, we feel how important. How did he beat it? He said, because the Canadian said, I don't know what your money looks like. And he had a point. I mean, we didn't know what a Canadian 10 looks like.
I don't know what
a Canadian 5. And he convinced the well, I got changed. This is what they gave me. I don't know what your money looks like. How would I talk to them? So he passed it on.
So we should go over there and do the same thing with their money.
Okay. All right, take care.
Okay.
Were you going to mention
I felt like I could feel that when